Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing using financial stress to your advantage.
Yeah, man, financial stress, or honestly, stress in general, I think that that's something that most people are going to think just right off the bat that that is something that they want to avoid, right? It's almost like if you get sick. It's like, is getting sick ever a good thing? It's something that you pretty much want to always make sure that doesn't happen to you. But during this episode, man, we're going to talk about stress in a way, and specifically stress when it comes to our money. And, you know, obviously there's the obvious kind of downsides to it, but we're going to talk about the upsides, the upshots to financial stress and how we can use it to further us along down our path of personal finance.
Using something that's commonly perceived to be negative as an advantage? I like that. We're going to talk about that today. But before we get to that, Matt, I wanted to mention that my wife just bought a $25 smartwatch.
Oh, your wife did? You
she
had
did.
Like this cheapo watch on here in the notes, and I thought maybe you got a new watch.
No, so I think we've talked before how I am kind of against the smartwatch, at least for myself in my own life on my wrist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want another screen to be checking. Although some people have actually said that having a smartwatch actually means you check your phone less often because you can like quickly glance at your watch and then you're done with it. But
it's still a screen.
It's yeah.
And you're still being distracted from whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm with you.
So I'm going to avoid it for the time being. But my wife, she said, well, she started doing some research and she was just interested in potentially getting a smartwatch. You know, the name brand ones, they're kind of expensive.
$300, right?
Yeah, something like
for
that.
Apple Watch, whatever?
I think so. And, you know, she's got an Android, so I don't even think those play nicely together. So I think that was even a possibility.
She's got to get that Samsung on her wrist.
I think she would she'd have to get one of the Android watches. Like Google makes one, Samsung makes one.
Okay.
But it turns out that there are a lot of like non-name brand smartwatches out there now too, and the technology has gotten a whole lot better at the cheap end of the spectrum. And so yeah, so she got a $25 one off Amazon. I'll link to the one that she purchased in the show notes, but she's loving it because some of the I think additional benefits of having one of the really nice name brand ones she doesn't care about. She really wants this to track steps, heart rate, monitor her sleep, and it has a lot of those functions. She can read texts on it too. And so yeah, there's another watch too. I forget what the name brand of hers is. Again, I said we'll link to it in the show notes, but Wyze is another brand. We've talked about Wyze. They've got some cool stuff, like some cool cheap headphones. So you know, they do home security incredibly cheap too.
Yeah, instead of getting the Nest Cam or some of the different camera setups in your home that typically cost like $100-$200 for these cameras, Wyze, man, those cameras are like $20-$25. You actually turned me onto them last year.
Yeah, so those are great. By the way, it's spelled Wyze.
Yes.
And yeah, we'll link to Wyze's in the show notes as well. But yeah, the cool thing is that she didn't have to spend very much and it's got the functionality she's looking for. And I think sometimes we just assume that we need the top of the line or the brand new thing that costs $300 in order to be happy, in order to get the things we need. And Emily was like, well, what am I looking for? Let me read the reviews. Let me, you know, sort through a bunch of different watches and find one that is relatively inexpensive that's going to have the functionality that I actually need, not all the stuff that I don't.
Right.
So yeah, we'll see how long it lasts. You know, a $25 smartwatch might last for a year. But
may not last very long.
Maybe not even that long.
We'll put it on the calendar. Maybe a year from now, we'll check back in and maybe Emily can come on and give us her little smartwatch update.
Yeah.
But dude, I'm with you. So the only thing that I feel like I've ever considered getting a smartwatch for is I've heard that you can, like they buzz, like they kind of vibrate. And I would love a solution where I could have an alarm set specifically in the morning so that when I wake up, it doesn't wake up Kate, because in order for it to be loud enough for me to hear, it's oftentimes, you know, loud enough for her to hear as well. And she kind of hates that. I try to get up super quietly, but if I just had a little smartwatch on my wrist and it buzzed and that, you know, that's how I was able to wake up, I think that could be pretty cool.
Can I tell you the number one feature of this watch that she got though?
What?
So she's constantly misplacing her phone and she's always asking me to call her phone so she can find it. This smartwatch has like
nice.
A locate my phone feature. So dude, my life has already gotten way better because she bought this watch. So.
Well, I mean, even iPhones, or I feel like most phones have that feature, but you have to sit down at a computer, log in,
exactly.
Kind of do all that. Whereas I guess with that watch, it's just just already on her. She just pushes a button.
Exactly.
Kind of like beeps off in the distance.
It's made us both much happier.
Nice.
But yeah. All right, Matt, let's mention the beer that we're having on today's show. This one is from Bolero Snort Brewery. It's called a Mojito. It's a lager with lime juice and mint. We'll give our thoughts on this one at the end of the episode. This was a brewery out of New Jersey. I'd never heard of before. I just kind of picked it up on a whim.
I just noticed that it's Mojito, not Mojito. they've got a little cattle theme going on, I guess, with their brewery. But yeah, man, looking forward to enjoying this one and sharing our thoughts at the end of the episode.
All right, but for now, let's get onto the topic at hand. We are talking about how you can use financial stress to your advantage. And Matt, I know you've never done this. Have you ever said anything really dumb?
Yes, but I am doing it less and less.
That's good.
As I age, I'm getting wiser.
Well, I think I've definitely said a lot of dumb things. One, because I just have this propensity to talk. And I think when you talk more, you say more dumb things. If I shut my mouth a little more, I probably would say fewer. But then I sometimes make it worse because I try to explain, you know, where I was coming from. And then people are like, that doesn't make it any better. And they just look at me a little confused. I think we've all been there, right? We've all had that kind of like foot in the mouth moment. Like, oh man, if I just shut up 5 minutes ago, I'd be in a much better spot with this person in this situation, whatever it may be. Maybe it was like to a teacher after you got a bad grade on a test and you somehow talked yourself into a D from a C, you know, like, because that's how bad it went. I think if we had just stopped at the first idiotic thing, it would have turned out better for us. And humans, Matt, we're anxious creatures, and money is one of the most stressful topics we face. That's why we wanted to talk about this today. It's not always a poor money decision that leads to significantly higher stress levels. Often, it's the reaction that we have when we mess up that creates these compounding effects that creates more stress in our lives. And so, yeah, we want to talk about like how do we eliminate stress or mitigate stress in our lives, and then also maybe in some ways use that stress to our advantage in the future.
Yeah, and of course, you know, it's important to note that stress does have some positive benefit in our lives. You know, it doesn't exist for no reason, but it's crucial for us to make some changes, though, so that, you know, our anxiety over money, that it doesn't cause us to curl up into a ball, unable to take any positive steps that can help us to move in the right direction. This is vital in order to, you know, keep it from becoming a full-blown personal crisis. And of course, you know, in the last 15 months, they have been especially stressful. But even before the pandemic, we saw that Northwestern Mutual, they actually did a study back in 2016, and they found that 85% of Americans feel anxious about their finances. And the American Institute of Stress, which is, I gotta imagine that's an interesting place to work, right?
It's either the chillest or the most stressful place to work. I'm not sure.
Depends on how they tackle their stress. But they say that the number two cause of stress in America is, you guessed it, money. It was actually just 1% point behind something, you know, really minor. The future of our nation. Work comes in at number three after that. But it's worth pointing out that a lot of folks are dealing with some amount of financial stress. We want you to know that you're not alone.
Yeah, obviously it plagues a huge amount of people. And Matt, I think we already know this. Like, we're going to talk about some of the positive benefits of financial stress in your life. I know, actually, there are some. It sounds counterintuitive. But let's also talk about how stress can be bad, right? And people probably already know some of this stuff, but this here is a little reminder, right? That overwhelming amounts of stress can have a massive negative impact on our health and on our relationships. That stress can lead to things like cardiovascular disease, ulcers, and worse. And unmanageable stress takes a toll on the physical body as well. Matt, I even saw a recent study that found that overworked individuals are more stressed, and it leads to a lot of premature deaths in our country. So yeah, the negative realities of stress are real. It takes a toll on us, but it also takes a toll on our relationships. When we're overly stressed about anything, we're more likely to take it out on the people that we love the most. And that leads to like messed up relationships. And in many cases, consistent money stress can wreak havoc on a marriage. Money fights are the second leading cause of divorce. And almost half of couples that have $50,000 or more in consumer debt say that money is the leading cause of arguments in their homes. That's a big deal. That stress is obviously causing a lot of strife for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the reactions that we have to the stressors in our lives can just make things worse. According to the American Psychological Association, the top stress relieving activities are watching TV for over 2 hours, surfing the internet, napping, eating, drinking, and smoking. So, you know, basically, it's just a laundry list of things that might be okay, and you know, in extreme moderation, maybe not the smoking,
because I don't think
that's never actually a good thing. But the rest of them are okay in moderation, but we're overindulging in all of them because Americans are just so stressed out. And so money troubles are a big part of what gets us to that point where we feel like we need these different coping mechanisms.
Yeah, it's like, I'm so stressed out, the only thing I can think of doing is popping in the couch and watching 2.5 hours of Netflix, right?
Which is essentially ignoring the stress, right? You're basically running from it, you're not facing the problems, and instead you're just pretending that it doesn't exist.
Yeah, which only makes the problem worse in almost every case.
Yeah.
And Matt, we've talked about this as well before, but sometimes we spend too much money because we're stressed out, and spending sprees, you know, or retail therapy is what it's sometimes called, can be an attempt to basically wallpaper over the emotions that we're feeling. But that also makes things worse, right? Some folks actually at Duke University, they found where they do a lot of great like behavioral money work there. They found that instead of stress spending, people should instead try stress saving. And that feels,
I can get behind that.
Yeah, I can get behind that too, but I'm sure a lot of people listening are like, what does that do for
me? Good
though?
For you nerds.
Yeah, that sounds great, but that doesn't actually relieve stress. And I can understand why you might respond that way. But the interesting thing is what they got to the root of is that spending, it actually puts you in a worse hole, right? But the behavioral finance folks at Duke said that the main benefit we get from the act of spending is the act of actually making a decision. Picking something out, buying it, boom, it's on our the way to our house. Hmm.
Basically, like the autonomy you have over your life.
Yeah. That's the part of spending that feels good. It's not necessarily even getting the item, right? And so their solution was to say that instead of purchasing that item, transfer that exact amount of money to your savings. It gives you the same satisfaction, but benefits you obviously in a more positive way than your money going to Amazon or some other, you know, online retailer. That money is going into your savings account, but you're actually physically doing something. You're taking an action. And so, yeah, if Duke and How to Money can combine efforts and make stress saving a thing, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, so that's a nice little action step, a little takeaway early in the episode, which doesn't always happen here at How to Money. But dude, you know, all of these things are all the traditionally negative views towards stress, right? Like, we don't want you to be overwhelmed and stressed out, and definitely not because of money issues. But we think that there's actually a much better way to view the stress in our lives. You know, we think that you can actually put stress in a positive light. Maybe it's less about conquering and combating stress, right? It's not something that we're just trying to overcome. What if you're able to discover how stress will allow you to get ahead with your money? And so we'll talk more about that right after this break.
Now, let's get to kind of some of the heart of what we wanted to cover on this episode.
Let's dig into the meat.
Yeah, let's talk about stress and how it can actually be good and benefit you potentially. So, before we talk about how you respond when financial stress hits, we're going to kind of get to some practical steps on that later. It's important to point out that stress isn't an inherently terrible thing. Like, when we're stressed, the purpose of the physiological response of our body is to overcome whatever obstacles might be in our way. Our cells are releasing dopamine and adrenaline so that we actually have a boost of energy and alertness. And this is like the fight or flight response we all learned about in elementary school, right?
Yeah.
And it's like when someone challenges you to a fight, you either like, you get so pumped up, you punch him in the nose, or you run away. I usually ran away.
You get goosebumps and so all the hair on your arm stands on end.
Yep.
Makes you look bigger.
But I still ran away. That's always how I handled fights growing up and still to this day. But they happen. They never really happened growing up either, let's be honest. But yeah, this is like how our bodies naturally respond to conflict. And really what we want to talk about in this episode is how do we use that response, that physiological response, when it comes to how stress impacts our lives. How do we use that, not to our detriment, not to curl up in a ball, but actually to use it to our advantage?
Yes, and so maybe it's not overcoming financial stress, but maybe it's more utilizing stress to overcome financial obstacles, right? It's sort of like judo, you know, like the martial arts, right?
Heard about it, never did it.
Yeah,
I did karate, though, for like, I don't know, maybe 3 months.
And it still didn't serve you well, I guess, in those little, on those playground scuffles, did
you? No, I broke one board, though.
So did you really?
That's my claim to fame.
I so wanted to do that as a kid. You know, like you'd see kids on TV doing that.
I swear
that.
They get special boards for weak kids that break so easily.
They do. But okay, so it's like judo, right? And so if we can use the momentum and weight of stress that we encounter against the negative and the more unhealthy behaviors that we're tempted to adopt, then we will be able to see incredible growth in our lives. And so kind of like extending that metaphor as we think of our bodies, you know, what happens when you lift weights or you work out? That resistance, say, of a kettlebell, like that right there, that is stress. But that same stress is actually what causes our muscles to grow. And so we wanted to mention this because the proper amount of stress in our lives makes us stronger. And the same thing is also true of our finances.
Yeah, man. Especially like when we think back to the periods in our life when we were performing at the highest levels, like we can probably bet that there was some amount of stress in our lives. Think back to school, right? I remember doing a couple of overnighters and like I didn't realize how many books I could read and maybe how much information I could memorize until getting that grade and graduating maybe was dependent on it. Like I almost needed that challenge, like that I'm a procrastinator to the core. So I needed to be kind of like pushed up against a wall in order to like, you know, get my stress levels raised so that I could react accordingly.
Yeah, I felt that way when it came to a scholarship. I mean, I was getting ready to lose a big scholarship and man, talk about me buckling down and actually getting the grades I needed to when money was on the line. Yeah, I studied.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I think too, Matt, other people, maybe they never knew just how creative they could be until a project at work, let's say for instance, required a completely different way of viewing the problem. And then when it comes to our finances, a lot of people probably never realized how little money they could live on until they lost a job, they were out of work. Or maybe they never realized how much they could earn until they had set a goal to save up a 20% down payment on a house. And they're like, I really want to do that in the next 2 years. I've got to earn more money to get there. All right, how am I going to make this happen? And so I think sometimes, yeah, those stressful situations, they create this ability in us that otherwise, if we're just kind of hanging out at a more chillaxed pace, we're not forced to get creative. We're not forced to work harder. You know, we're not forced to think about things differently. And it's not that stress is always good, but that kind of stress can be a huge motivator.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good thing because it shows us that we care, right? It's something that we're connected to, because if we didn't feel stressed towards something that is, you know, that was kind of pushing up in our lives, well, that just means we're kind of apathetic to whatever that thing is. And so I think I see it as a healthy amount of concern, right? Like that's kind of how we're trying to view stress here. We're trying to view it through that lens. But of course, you know, it's important to point out that like we're making an argument here that a proper amount of stress in our lives in healthy doses, like that is beneficial, you know, like it kind of makes me think of just kind of like filling up your cup at the sink, getting some water, just a little bit of, you know, some of that water, a little bit of stress in our lives. I think it can go a long way. That's a lot different than trying to like drink from a fire hydrant, right? It's hard to grow and to make progress with our money when we're constantly facing just an overwhelming barrage of financial stressors in our life.
Please tell me you've never tried to drink from a fire hydrant.
No, but you've heard people talk
about
that.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I just wonder if someone's actually tried it.
It's just too much.
I don't think it'd go very well.
For instance, like we don't want someone in a vicious cycle of only paying the minimums on their credit cards because you've got too many financial obligations. Like this would be an instance of bad stress that leads to poor decisions and outcomes. Earlier, Joel, before the break, you talked about couples who, when faced with constant stress in their lives, how that can lead to the relationship suffering. We think that with the right amount of stress that you would be amazed at the amount of work that you'd be able to get done. Like specifically with a couple, right? Where, you know, you got your partner. When you feel a little bit of stress and you both are on board and it forces you to talk about, say, your money, then I don't think you can help but to be more efficient, to spend wisely with your dollars or to, you know, to start earning more money. But if the stress is too much and it's constant, that's when it can be negative in our lives. And that's when I think it can often lead us to take some of those unhealthy behaviors and where we resort to some of those vices as we're trying to escape that stress.
Yeah, letting that stress overwhelm you is the worst place you can find yourself, really. And so Matt, I think, you know, we've kind of tried to reframe how we view financial stress in our lives, at least to a certain degree, that it's not all negative. Some of it can be good. It can actually cause us to rise to new heights. And it's important to recognize how that stress is going to allow us to achieve financial goals that we've set for ourselves, right? And it's really helpful to focus on the positive goals instead of only focusing on the negative stressful steps that it might take to get there, right? For example, it might be difficult to constantly be saying to yourself, don't spend too much money on the credit card this month. When instead, maybe we should be focusing on why we're wanting to slim down the budget in the first place. maybe it's to, for the first time, have a decent working emergency fund, that financial margin, that breathing room that's so yeah. important, right? Or it's this goal to finally be able to take a vacation. Maybe it's been a few years. Well, it's probably been at least a year for for all of us. But yeah, like that's a great goal for a lot of people who maybe say, I need to save up $2,000 to take a vacation this year. But it's been so hard in years past. In our family, we really, really need it. Then focusing on that goal first, the end goal, instead of all the little things it's going to take to get there at the beginning, at least reframes some of the actions that you're going to have to think about later. It makes them, I think, less daunting.
Right, man. And here's the thing, too. I know that we're talking about stress in a sort of very clinical, kind of unemotional way, but it's worth mentioning that financial stress, it's not always rational, right? It's difficult to kind of be out in the real world experiencing the, you know, the day-to-day things that we're faced with in our lives and to be this kind of straightforward and clinical about it. And, you know, we're actually going to talk with Michelle Singletary next week, and she's been writing about money for decades. She's incredibly frugal, and I think probably because of that, she admits to having anxiety when it comes to spending on things that she's been diligently saving for. It's something that there's almost like a disconnect between the head knowledge of, you know, understanding something like the way we're talking about it right now versus putting that knowledge into action. And so for Michelle, the difficulty lies in being able to enjoy some of what she's actually worked hard in order to achieve.
Yeah, I feel like financial stress isn't always because someone's living paycheck to paycheck. And for somebody like Michelle and kind of like for myself, I feel like that's super evident because even when you are frugal and you've handled money well for a long period of time, like all the numbers point to the fact that you really shouldn't be that stressed out. Like you're saving a good portion of what you make, your investments are looking good. But still, I think if you have that hyper frugal gene, like you also have to work to overcome some of the stresses that money can bring in your life. And maybe you're stressing about things that you really don't need to be. And I know that's can be the case in my life as well, where I need to work to combat some of those stressors. But in real life, like in the moment when I'm feeling those things, like it's not easy, right? It's not easy to do that self-talk and say, you know what, it's okay, let's look at the numbers. The emotion, it can be really difficult to combat the emotion that you're feeling with the numbers on the page.
Yeah, it takes work to control how we feel about the financial situations that we have gotten ourselves in, you know, that we find ourselves in. And to a certain extent, like we have to be willing to kind of rein in our emotions. And I think viewing stress as something that we can harness, like that will allow us to take control of not only our lives, but our money too. And so now that we've reframed, you know, what we think is a better way to view financial stress, right after the break, we're going to dive into some practical ways that will allow you to transform that stress into forward progress with your money.
All right, we're back from the break. We're talking about financial stress and how you can actually use it to your advantage. And Matt, so we've talked about how stress is traditionally viewed as a negative thing that should be avoided at all costs. But I think sometimes when we think about stress that way, if we just want everything in life to be super easy, we never have to rise to the challenge. Stress, in many ways, in some forms, can be a helpful motivator. And like also too, we've talked about how rewiring the way that we think about stress can help us get ahead. Now let's zero in on some of the specific ways that we can use stress for good in our lives and to be helpful for our finances.
Yeah, so first you want to identify, you know, what we're going to call the trouble spots, right? It's hard to manage stress that you might be experiencing when you're not even sure what's causing it. And so in order to do this, we think that tracking your spending, that is really important in the step if you aren't already doing that, right? Because how can you figure out the trouble spots if you aren't doing the basic financial necessity? Finding some clarity around the biggest money culprits in your life that need your attention is really important. And then after that, once you have tracked your money, that's when you can create a plan to tackle those different culprits one by one.
Yeah, man, I feel like looking at the numbers actually is like the exact opposite of what I said before the break, but sometimes it actually can be de-stressing. We've almost like built up this problem in our heads, but we don't know how big the problem is or what it is if we don't know the numbers. And so I think you're right. Identifying some of those trouble spots, you know, putting
you
a pen to paper.
Yeah,
yeah. Getting specific with what the problem is like huge in the attempt to remedy it.
Yeah, because otherwise it's sort of like this vague malaise hanging over your financial situation, right? Because you don't exactly know what's wrong, but you know something's wrong. But you got to put in the work to actually figure out what it is.
Yeah, it's like, I know my money sucks, but I don't know how bad. Yeah. Like how bad the situation situation is. And so, or, and maybe it's not as bad as you think, and that might be de-stressing in and of itself. So I agree. Yeah. Identifying the trouble spots is key. It should be the first thing that you're doing in order to try to de-stress your financial situation. And you mentioned, Matt, having a plan, which is, you know, in financial terms, the plan is the budget.
Yeah. Plan for your money. That's a budget.
That's right. Yeah. And so, yeah, one of our favorite budgeting apps called You Need a Budget, or YNAB for short, they conducted a survey and they found that a huge majority of their users, 3 out of 4, who had a zero-based budget, which means all of their dollars are spoken for every single month, they go to specific areas of their financial life, whether it's saving, spending, investing, paying off debt. And then if they checked that budget on a weekly basis, they had little to no financial stress. So like, even when you're in a good spot financially, it's still possible to feel overwhelmed, like I talked about. Like, I get there. And I know a lot of fellow money nerds who feel the same way. They feel stressed about their finances, even though they're doing good with their money. But it's so much easier, I think, to avoid burnout when your budget is working well, when you have a game plan, and when you're consistently checking in on it. So yeah, tracking your spending, identifying those trouble spots, but then also, you know, having that budget and checking in on it regularly, that's a way to be more in tune with what's actually happening in your finances. And it's going to, like, yeah, lower the stress level in almost every case.
That's right, man. And after that, we would recommend for folks just to tackle one thing at a time. Once you've created a plan for your money, we want you to be realistic about the time that it's actually going to take to work on that list of the different trouble spots that you're working on. Makes me think of Rome, right? Rome wasn't built in a day, and your financial ship, it's not going to be righted in one single day either. We want everyone out there to be kind to yourselves. It's, you know, it likely took you years to get into the financial hole that you might have found yourself in, and it's probably going to take some time for you to climb out. But trying to remedy, say, a dozen different financial trouble spots in a week or two will likely lead to unmanageable stress. And so, again, a small amount of stress is good. Like, that informs you. But an unmanageable and overwhelming amount of stress can lead to some tough spots. So focus on the most important trouble spot and kick that one's butt. And then after that, move on to number two. It's also helpful to be organized in making sure that you're setting aside the proper amount of time to work on your finances as well. And so commit and include a weekly calendar slot so that you're working on your finances regularly, not trying to accomplish everything in just one fell swoop, but do it methodically and with some regularity.
Yeah, man, it's good to have high standards. It's good to have big goals that you're shooting for. But I think, yeah, if you set the bar too high, let's say you're like, it's your first time pole vaulting and you literally set the bar really high, you're probably gonna like crash into it with your head or something like that. And that might completely eliminate your desire to do pole jumping anymore. And I think it's that way with a whole lot of things. If you're like, I wanna run a 6-minute mile and That's a great goal. Just realize that if you haven't ran in like 8 years, you're probably not going to hit that anytime soon. Again, it's this great long-term goal, but you have to be realistic about the time frame to get there so that you don't get completely bummed out in the process and forget it altogether. Just scrap the goal altogether. You want to make sure you approach your money in the same way, that you're not like, I'm going to pay off all this credit card debt in a month and a half, when it's actually, if you look at it in what fits into your budget, it's going to take, you know, 14 months. You want to be realistic so that you can actually achieve those goals. It's important too, Matt, as we're, you know, attempting to achieve those goals, to track our progress along the way. Because it feels really, really good when you do make progress. Like when you do pay off that first credit card of 3 or 4, right, that you have a lot of a balance on. But really, it's easy, I think, to allow stress to maybe show up and, like, Steven Seagal style or Chuck Norris style, kick down your mental door rather than like politely knocking and kind of being that accelerator. It just does us in, right? It messes us up mentally. So yeah, keep a list on hand and cross out the items in a red pen. Keep a physical list when they've been completed so you can throw a mini celebration and then remember how far you've come. And if you need a quick win, which quick wins always helpful. So for instance, let's say you want to make that 6-mile run happen. Get out and run today, even if it's just a tenth of a mile. But yeah, check out episode 260. We did an episode called 7 Ways to Save More this week. And we really wanted to give people a way to do one thing a day for 7 days to be able to save more and spend less. And that's a good resource for you as you want to accelerate that progress, because there's just something really important about getting that first win under your belt. I feel like, Matt, one win is indicative of another one. Sometimes you get on a roll. Momentum is underrated. It can be a game changer.
Yeah, there's nothing like breaking that losing streak, right?
Mm-hmm.
And dude, don't forget about the e-fund as well, the emergency fund. Having cash in the bank is, you know, we feel it's one of the biggest differences between stress just completely dominating every thought versus your ability to learn from what your stress might be teaching you, right? So maybe you're thinking like that, you know, that credit card debt is stressing you out. I get it. And I know you want to pay it off as soon as possible. But having money on hand, starting with the $2,467 that we like to see, that takes precedent even over high interest rate credit card debt. And so make sure to keep that around. Really, it's like a soothing balm to know that you've got liquid funds available should you need them.
Yeah, that's a super practical way to avoid some of the stressful situations that money mistakes can get you into. Just having that cash in the bank account can eliminate a huge percentage of the financial stressors, or at least minimize them, right? And make them not seem like as big of a deal as we make them out to be. Also too, Matt, I think it's important for people to ask for support from the people in their lives. That can also help with the level of financial stress in your life. And I'm not talking about hiring a financial planner. I think that is one of the things maybe that people go to instinctively is they go pay someone big bucks and they say, help me out, I'm stressed out. But that doesn't always work the way you want it to. So yeah, talking with maybe a partner or a trusted friend can really help put things in perspective. Matt, we just met with a couple recently over beers. They're about to have a baby. And so they're getting more nervous about their financial situation. They're like, are we doing this right? And so, yeah, I feel like you and I, we were able to offer some help, but we were also able to reassure them that they are doing well with their finances.
Yeah, they're crushing it.
Yeah, they're in a great position. And like sometimes you just need a dose of confidence building kindness to lower the negative emotions that you're feeling. You're stressed out, but that perspective from someone else can help you realize that you're doing a better job than you thought you were. That outside input can be invaluable in kind of, yeah, lowering the level of money stress in your life.
Yeah, man, that outside input can be helpful. I think journaling and going to counseling could also be, you know, some other ways to manage your stress. And, you know, while we want to encourage everyone to slow down and to be introspective, if things are bad enough, it's true that you might need the help of a nonprofit budget counselor. We would recommend for folks to check out Money Management International or NAPFA.org if you feel that you're in over your head when it comes to debt. You know, here on the show, our focus is on the money aspect, but, you know, sometimes the stress goes beyond just finances. Mental health extends beyond those money conversations that we often have here on the show. And so the National Alliance on Mental Illness, they actually have resources on their site to help if you need more than just a budget counselor or a couple friendly dudes to kind of talk through your finances with. And we'll make sure to link to all of those sites on our website.
Yeah. Sometimes a budget counselor is, you know, the right thing. That's the person you need. Sometimes it's just a friend. And sometimes it is, you know, an actual licensed therapist or a counselor. And Matt, I think, you know, one other way in which we can lower the level of stress in our lives that's often overlooked. And it's probably because we are turning to things like self-care a little bit too much. We're turning on Netflix or we're scrolling through our phones in order to kind of not focus on the things that are stressing us out. But sometimes we're just way too focused on ourselves. Like we see all the little things that might not be as big of a deal as we're making them out to be. And so I think one of the perfect antidotes is taking time to serve someone else. That might mean having a friend over for dinner who's been having a tough time. Let's say they lived alone during the pandemic and they are just massively in need of some social interaction. You know, making dinner for them and having a glass of wine together and talking and just caring for them in that way, I think can be a huge de-stressor. Or volunteering in your community to tutor kids after school. There really is like something almost magical about serving others and how it affects our stress levels in a positive way. I think it just puts everything in perspective, helping us realize that there's a whole lot more going on in this world than just our problem, whether it's money-based or something else. Yeah, but I think volunteering and service projects and just caring for someone else, whether it's a neighbor or a friend, really well, is definitely a way to help mitigate some of the stresses that we're feeling.
Yeah, I think when we're able to remove ourselves from our own situation sometimes and kind of look at the world in a, you know, with a wider lens, it definitely provides some of that missing perspective in our lives. And so, man, you know, kind of as we wrap things up here, we feel that it's impossible to kick stress to the curb completely, right? And when it comes down to it, we think that the right amount of stress can actually be a motivating tool for good in our lives. You know, like we feel that life is always throwing us curveballs. But being in a tough financial spot, that can actually make life even more stressful. And we want money to be a source of less stress in your life. So instead of taking, you know, the stress relief routes that most Americans take, which, like we said, you know, it only leads to worse outcomes and even more stress, we would rather see folks set more realistic expectations and to start working towards solutions that will impact your mental health and your finances in a positive way. We don't want you to completely ignore stress in your life, but we want you instead to listen to it. We want it to inform the decisions you make so that you're working towards your goals.
No doubt, Matt. Stress can have a good side, it turns out.
Yeah, man.
And hopefully we can use that stress as a motivator and not as, yeah, something that defeats us. But let's move back to the beer that we had on this episode. This one was called Mojito by Bolero Snort Brewery.
Mojito.
Lager with lime juice and mint. What was your take on it?
100% beach. Like, that's what I thought of as I was drinking this beer. And I think the reason it reminds me of the beach, not just because of the mojito, but because it tastes a lot like Bud Light Lime. And the only time I think I've ever had that beer is actually on the beach. I know back in the day,
that's the only place it's okay to have.
Yeah. And so, you know, this was a different beer, a different take on this style of lager. And here's the thing. I'm not going to hate on any specific type of style of beer because I think there's virtually a time and place for any type of beer out there. It was fun to enjoy this one today. You know, temperatures are definitely warmer around here in Atlanta. I thought this one was good, but I think I would have enjoyed it even more if I was sitting there with my toes in the sand.
Yeah. I mean, everything tastes better with your toes in the sand, I think. That's what Corona at least is banking on with the way they do their commercials. But yeah, I thought this beer had a refreshing factor for sure, right? Because like mint and lime,
yeah,
those two ingredients, just to me, they scream refreshing. But it was light and it did taste a little bit like a beer mojito. Like I think they got what they were going for. But yeah, for me, this wasn't my jam in a big way. I would say I probably wouldn't pick this up again at the bottle shop, but it was, I agree. If I was on the beach, I'd feel differently about it. I'd probably be down with this. It's just not a beer that I want to drink within the four walls of my home or our podcasting studio.
Totally. Well, that's the thing. Like, there's beers. Like, we've taken really good beers to the beach before, like when we go to the beach with our families, and we've had really good beers on the beach before. And I tell you what, I did not enjoy them nearly as much out there in the sun, sweating, you know, with the ocean, you know, out before you.
It's like too much. It's yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's almost too much flavor. And so the time and the place that you enjoy a beer that has everything to do with the ultimate satisfaction of the beverage.
Agreed.
But even still, man, I'm glad that you and I got to share this one on the show today. And that's going to be it for this episode. Listeners will be able to find our show notes up on our website at howtomoney.com.
That's right. So, Matt, until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.